Luke 18, let's begin in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. This is Christ here about to speak this parable. And it is to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I want us to focus basically on verse 7 and verse 8 in the context of what this passage is telling us and the way the Lord is speaking here. And I want us to focus on these two verses by considering two facts and a question. First, the first fact that I want us to consider is that God will avenge His own elect speedily. God will avenge His own elect speedily. This parable here was spoken by Christ, and it tells of a woman who was oppressed wrongly by an enemy. Someone had wronged her, and there was no justice. And so the woman came to this judge who the Lord tells us is an unjust judge. He makes sure that we understand about this man and about his inward being, if you will. And he says that he is an unjust judge, but this woman, this widow woman, came to this judge, and she pleaded for him to intercede or to rule in her favor that justice would be done in this matter. And finally, because apparently the woman just wouldn't quit pestering him, finally, he did hear her case. And to get rid of her, basically, to get rid of her, he heard her continual pleadings, and he finally did avenge her enemy. Now the Lord lays this parable to the foundation of the fact that if this unjust judge will hear and avenge this widow woman, surely the God who is just and the God who is righteous, the God who is absolutely just, He will most certainly hear the pleadings of His elect. And He will most certainly now, and speedily, answer and rule and act in deliverance in the sake and for the sake of His elect. One thing that we need to understand, this unjust judge, he did it because he got tired of hearing this woman. I want to tell you, the Lord's not that way. We're not going to worry Him. He's not going to answer because we worry Him. He's not going to answer because we weary Him. But He's going to answer because He cares about His people. He's going to answer because He cares for us, and He cares for us. He cares for us no matter what the problem may be, no matter how small we might consider or how large we might consider it. He cares for us. He loves us with a love that we can't measure and can't even really get it right in our mind. Born out of God Himself, if He is the Almighty and all of His ways are above searching and past finding out, think about how great His love must be, and to think that He moved that love towards us. And He cares for us like that. In one place in Scripture, the Apostle Peter, I think he said, to cast all your cares upon Him because He careth for you. As if to say, leave them there and He'll take care of them. He'll do the caring for you. He'll do the caring in your place and in your stead. He did everything else in our place and in our stead. Our God cares for us. He is concerned with our trouble and our weaknesses. He knows those that plot against us. He knows those that seek to harm us, whether they be physical or spiritual powers. Listen, the Good Shepherd, He lays down His life for His sheep. And our God is the Good Shepherd and the Great Shepherd and the Chief Shepherd. As a matter of fact, the reason for the Lord giving us this parable is for this reason. It is to this end. It is to this end, to know that our God cares. To know that God, our God, is the Almighty. He is the all-just and the all-good God. To know that He is the one who will always do right and who delightfully hears and answers the prayers of His people. You realize that our God delightfully hears our prayers. Our God delightfully answers our prayer. Our God, because of His Son and the intercession that is and has been done in our place, He says, "Come, come unto my throne of grace." And He is the great King. It is to this end. Did you catch that in verse 1? The whole reason for this whole parable was to this end. It was for this purpose. The Lord spoke it for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You see, He wants us to pray, and He wants us to keep praying. He wants us to pray without ceasing and not to faint. That means don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. What a blessing and encouragement this should be for us, brothers and sisters. We have a God who cares about the smallest of our afflictions, and He is able to avenge us from the greatest of our afflictions. Not only is He able, but He will do it. He will, and speedily at that, He says. He'll not grow weary and tired of our pleadings, but He will answer. It's a promise. He will answer. I didn't say He'd answer it the way we want it, or in the time that we think it should be, but in His time, it's speedily. It's a promise. God will speedily avenge. He will speedily come to the rescue of His elect. He is an ever-present help in time of need. He is so good. And He is so great. And this is a fact. And this is a promise from God's own Word that is settled forever in heaven. He will speedily avenge His elect, His own elect. Then the second fact that I want us to consider is that this God who is so great and this God who is so good, He cometh. He cometh. Did you catch that in verse 7 or in verse 8? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, He cometh. In Psalm 96:13, this psalm was given and sang before the Lord, and I can hear, almost hear the melody. It says, for He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. That's made to be sang with rejoicing in your heart. For He cometh to judge the earth. The Song of Solomon, this ought to be important to us, church. In the Song of Solomon, verse 2:8, His bride, His betrothed, says, "The voice of my beloved, behold, He cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." Mark 8:38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels." It doesn't say if He cometh. Now when He cometh. Revelation 1:7, "Behold, look, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." And John said, "Even so, amen." Even so, amen. Luke 12:37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down, sit to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Not if, but when. When He cometh, and that soon. Because our Lord cometh. And how this ought to be before us, church. As I begin here, I didn't want to do it this morning because I didn't know exactly if I would be prepared enough to do it or not. But I wanted to cover a short series on some messages you've already heard that I've put together and wrote them down, or condensed them, I guess, because they're so important on the Lord coming. That should be so dear to us. Should be so near to us. It should be a daily thought. And a daily meditation that our Lord cometh. enough. His coming is nigh. It was near 2,000 years ago. John said, it's at hand. It's right here. How much closer is it now? But yet it seems that so few really think about it now. We've all, me included, I mean, we're thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and next week and next month, but it may be this moment that the Lord Himself may come. Because He's coming. He's coming. It ought to move us and encourage us and drive us unto His own glory. When the appointed moment comes, and that day's already appointed, that moment's already appointed, it's settled. The Lord will come when that moment comes in His time. He will come. Then the Lord will delay no longer. But He will come, and we will be caught up together with Him in the clouds. And why is the Lord telling us this? To the end that we would pray. To the end that we would not lose heart, that we'd pray and watch and wait, and pray and expect any moment the shout of the trumpet. Any moment, church, our Bridegroom cometh. He cometh. So we see these two facts. The Lord hears and speedily answers the prayers of His elect, and soon He will return for us. He cometh. But now the question, when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? What was the Lord asking here? Well, by the language used here, it could mean much more than we might think at first glance. This faith here is not just saving faith, though that is included in that. It could be implied here. But one of the things that is implied here, I believe, is will the Lord find the faith. Will He find the faith when He returns? Will He find the faith once delivered unto the saints when He comes again? Will He find the true teachings of His Word, which He taught to His church, His first church, and then His disciples went abounded through the world teaching what He taught them? And it has spread throughout the ages from church to church to church and even unto this day. Will that kind of faith, will it be found upon the earth when He comes? The faith, will He find the pure, unadulterated teachings of God's Word concerning His supremacy and His sovereignty when He comes again? Will He find the true teachings? Will He find the faith that sees the Lord God Jehovah as the one Lord and one God over all, the one Creator, the one supreme ruler, the one supreme owner of the earth and the heavens and all their inhabitants? And that owner is indeed the Lord God, the triune God Jehovah. Will He find that faith when He comes? Will He hear, I guess we could say that, will He hear these teachings being proclaimed as He comes for His people? I want to tell you, the world and the world system and the powers and principalities in high places would have this great truth to be silenced. You understand that? They are active at silencing it right now. It starts in the littlest, youngest ages of our children as they impress and enforce upon them their theories of evolution, of man being made from or coming from organisms and progressing and all kinds of mess is what it is. They try to cover up the truth with this devilish doctrine of evolution and right on into postmodernism where everybody's their own God. There's really no right, no wrong, because everybody's their own God. You just do what feels right for you. Isn't that what's being taught all over in our schools? And it's not just in the schools. You don't have to go to a school or a place of higher learning to hear that stuff. Turn on your TV, turn on your radio, and you'll hear it. It's entrenched in everything that goes on and everything around us. That you're just really your own God. No, you're not. No, you're not. And I'm not either. But the Lord Jehovah is your God. He created you and He gives you breath and He gives you life and He gives you being, and you are responsible to Him. You will answer to Him because He is God and He alone. He created the world and everything in it. He framed it and He spoke it into existence, and it exists right now because He's still holding it into existence. And one day He's going to fold it up like a garment to show that He is the owner of it now. He's going to cast it away, and then He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Because He can. Because He is the sovereign. Because He is the owner of all things. He is the Lord Jehovah. He is God, and there is none beside Him. None. But right now, the earth, the world, and the world system are trying to drown out this sound, this trumpet of truth. Will they succeed? Will they succeed? We can look around and see that they have made a mark. Look around, you can open the doors of many a church building in our day and in this town, and you'll not hear this truth being taught anymore. So they've made a mark. Will they succeed in drowning it out altogether? When the Lord comes, will He find the faith once delivered to the saints? Will He find the truth concerning His Son, Jesus Christ? Will He find the unadulterated gospel of Christ being proclaimed? Will He hear from His people and from His churches how Christ, the God-man, God in flesh, God of very God, condescended to this earth in accordance with an eternal plan of divine and holy grace to save a people that He called His own, a people that were sinners, a people that were ruined by sin, ruined by the fall? Will he hear the truth, that old, old story? I guess it's the old, old, old story now about how Christ in sovereign grace came to save the unsavable and love the unlovable. And in the demonstration of His great love, He laid down His life even unto the death of the cross to pay the sin debt owed to God and to His justice. He paid the price for a people known only to God from every tribe and every nation and every tongue. And the Lord of glory, dying to save His people from their sin, will hear how perfect and satisfactory His payment for sin really was? Will He hear how He completely and forever atoned and justified and reconciled His beloved people unto God the Father? Will we hear the truth about Christ, about His great work? You can go into churches all over this world, this nation, this free, quote-unquote, Christian nation, and you'll not hear any more about the work of Christ. You'll hear about what you can do and what you need to do and these steps that you need to take. You know, when the Lord told Moses to build an altar, He said, make it after this pattern. The first thing He told him said, don't be making any steps going up to it. That's what He said. I don't want your hands, I don't want your filthy hands or your filthy tools upon that rock. You take an unhewn stone and you make me an altar. Don't touch it. Don't pollute it with your work, is what He's saying. And that all was a picture of His Son. And He can't be polluted. He can't be touched by our works because He did it all. It's His work or it's no work. Only God, God only sees and knows and accepts His work, and ours is vain and vanity. But all over today, religious institutions, some with Baptist on the sign, say that man needs to do this and man needs to do that, and to be saved, man has to do this, do this, do this, do this, and they make steps to God. I want to tell you, the only thing between man and God is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the only way unto the Father. He said it so plainly. It's Christ and Him alone. See, this is not just something that's going to happen someday. It's not just truth that's going to someday fade away. It's truth that right now, all over our nation and all over this city, the truth is going away. It's still here, but man are going away from it. Because it's not popular with people. Will they hear the truth about God the Spirit? You know, that's a truth that's left out in our day and time. Nowadays, they tell you that it's man's will. That's where the work is. Man has to exert his will. And in God's book, it talks about a Spirit who gives life where there was only death, who births one again. Man's will can't do that. It's fallen. It's dead. But there is a Spirit. God the Spirit. Third person of the Trinity. Who can give life where there was only death. He can quicken. He can regenerate. And when He does, He testifies into the heart of that person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And shows him, shows that person their sinnerhood and shows them the one Savior that can save them from their sin. But it takes the work of the Holy Spirit, not the work of man and not the work of a preacher preaching strong enough to draw people to the front of a church or say some kind of prayer. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to bring one from death unto life. It always has and it always will. But you'll not hear much about Him. No, man wants the credit. They want the glory for their salvation. But I want to tell you, if we'll ever be saved, it won't be because of any man born of a woman except for the Lord Jesus. That's it. His Spirit is that He is the one that gives faith and He gives repentance, sealing our redemption and giving us a hope of heaven, giving us eternal life. One thing that you won't hear, and I tell you this truth is about gone in our day and time, is that one day every single person whom the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to save from their sins, every single person that He shed His blood to save, He will gather and He will present them accounted for now. Accounted for. He will present them unto the Lord Himself. He will present us living and redeemed unto our Father in heaven. And we will be there with Him in His presence glorified forever throughout all eternity. And He's not going to lose one. He told us He wouldn't so plainly. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And I'll not cast them out. I'll not lose one. No, He wouldn't, because if He lost one, He would have failed. And He would not be able to present that perfect work unto His Father in glory. But He will be able to present that perfect work to His Father. And brothers and sisters, we're going to be part of that. But we'll not be singing praise to our own name. It's going to be singing praise to His name forever and ever. If you don't know how satisfactory, and I know it's hard in this flesh to see it, but if you don't know how satisfactory and how sufficient the Lord Jesus Christ really is, you'll know then. Because everyone that He shed His precious blood for will be there, and they'll be redeemed, and we'll be glorified together forever with Him and with them. Forever. Will they hear these truths? Will God hear these truths? That which is testified in His book, will it be found when He returns? The world and religion especially, false religion, they would have all who preach such truths to be silenced. You go in many a Baptist church, especially those in Southern Baptist conventions in our day, you try to preach when I'm preaching here this morning, I'll tell you, it won't be long until they toss you out on your ear. Ain't that right, Brother Buzz? He knows a little bit about that. They'll silence it. As long as they got a hand in it, as long as they got power over it. All those men, I am impressed. Those men, there was such a thing as rolling over in your grave. Those men that had part in that convention, they'd roll over in the grave today if they could see what was happening. Why, the convention rules and owns the churches. But that's not the churches in this book. Churches in this book are autonomous and independent. Which leads me to that. Will the truth of the Lord's church be taught? Will it be taught when the Lord comes again? When He returns, will the truth of His church, the bride of His love now, His betrothed, will the truth about her be heard? What she really is and who she really is? That's a truth that's fleeting by right now as we speak. I don't know if you heard about it, but this past week, a church in the Southern Baptist Convention, they've got a group, a council of churches together, and they've got it up to vote. I don't know if they actually voted on it Friday or not, to vote whether a member, whether a person really has to be baptized to be a member of the church. What a heresy. to think that a quote-unquote Baptist church would have to put to vote something like that. What a shame. You think the religion and our nation is not fleeing away from the truth of God's Word? They are. They are. And they do it in the name, you know why? What was the reasoning behind it? Because of infirmed people. People with physical afflictions. What a shame. What a shame. The church, the Lord's church, will the truth about her be heard? That she is a local, visible body of baptized believers. That she is, they are covenanted together, those believers within that body, to do the Lord's work. The Lord's churches, His churches, are Baptistic in belief, in faith, in practice. They may not have Baptist on the name, and anymore, when they got Baptist on the name, happened, you can't pay no attention to that. But there were times in the past when Baptistic churches, those that believe Baptistic truths, weren't called Baptists. They were called Paulicians and many other names. But they had Baptistic true beliefs, and they have had, because the Lord Himself taught His church these truths, and taught His apostles these truths. And they went forth with these truths, and they taught throughout the world these glorious truths of God's Word. They didn't come from a man, they came from this Word. They came from the God-man Himself. And His churches throughout the ages have held true to these truths. Or at least if they have went away from them, they come back to these truths. But will they be found when the Lord comes back? All the heresy that's being spread about His bride today, I wonder, speaking as a man, I wonder how it must infuriate the Lord. No wonder He's going to come and deliver her right out of the jaws of her enemies. No wonder it's described in Scripture. If you'll look at it, if you kind of look at the big picture of it, He's going to take and come and deliver His church right out of the jaws of her enemies and take her to a place that He has prepared for her, the place where the wedding will be, the place where the honeymoon will be. And then the Lord Himself in flaming fire is going to come. And all who defamed and all who demeaned and all who mistreated His church, His beloved church, His beloved bride, when He comes in flaming fire, they're going to be sorry, aren't they? For the Lord Himself is going to deal with them face to face. He will recompense, He said. Justice is mine. And all that sing will wail and cry, and they'll cry for the rocks to fall upon them and to hide them from the face of He who sits on the throne, the church's husband. I'm convinced more and more one of the most mishandled doctrines in God's Word in our day and time is the doctrine of the church. But don't you think Satan likes it that way? Well, I think he does. People call themselves church and they have no idea, no clue what that really means. The landmark position on the church seems all but gone. Will it cease to exist completely? Will Satan win this battle? Will faith, the faith, be found when the Lord comes again? Well, I have to be honest with you. I really believe the answer to the question we're discussing, will the Lord find faith on the earth when He comes? I believe the answer is yes. I believe He will. I don't believe the world and religionists and even Satan himself will be able to snuff out the truth. I don't believe that they will win this battle. But I want to get real personal with you here. Will there be faith? Will there be the faith once delivered unto the saints? Will it be found here? Will it be found here? Will it be found when He comes in this church? Will the unadulterated truth of the sovereignty of God be proclaimed? with the truth of the gospel of Christ? I mean, the real truth of the gospel of Christ be declared? Will the truth of the church be stood for? Will it? Some might say, well, we're just a handful. We're just a handful. How can we keep the world and the world system and Satan himself? How can we keep him from infiltrating into us? I want to tell you, you can't. But God can. And I'll tell you something else that's been lost in our day and time. It's because the study of this book has gone away, even in churches. The Lord, God, has always used the small and the weak and the insignificant to confound the world and the world system. Don't expect Him to stop anytime soon. That's the way He works. We ought to know something about that by our own salvation. We were small and insignificant sinners without any hope at all. Why in the world would the Lord say sinners like us? Because then He gets all the glory. Same thing with His church. He does His work through the small and insignificant, the weak things of this world, and it confounds the world and the wise and the prudent. Why, most of these, we could go to several churches here today and take our little group in there and tell them about the work that we do here and the people we have here, and they say, why bother? Let them say it. Let them say it, because it's just them talking. God's always used that which is small to do His work. And I don't think He's going to stop anytime soon. But though we may be small, may God give us grace to stand. May He give us grace to stand and persevere and be patient and be faithful and be as wise as servants and gentle as doves and stand. And stand and love the Lord and love His church and guard this, and love this Word and guard it with our very lives. And may God give us grace to do it. Because I want to tell you, there's a cause. There's a cause that we should stand for this work. The cause of truth. The cause of Christ. For the elect's sake. There are some people I am sure in this world and in this town and in maybe even in this building that need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true gospel, the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. They need to hear it. May the Lord give us and bless us with the opportunity and the privilege to speak His Word. That they might hear and He might work. And to stand for His truth. How will we do it? How will we do it? That's why God's given us this parable. That's why God's given us this parable. To the end. To the end that you pray always. Pray always and don't lose heart. Pray always and don't lose heart. Because God is able to sustain us. He is able to provide our every need. He is able to do exceedingly more than we can ask and think. Hasn't He showed us that? Hasn't He showed us? So many times He showed us. And showed us. And showed us. And here this morning He showed us again. That He is able to do exceedingly more than we ask and think. You know, we often think that it's all about us. This war that's raging on and this battle that's being fought, it's all about us. It's not. It's not about us. You think about the nation of Israel, the Lord many times told them to go forth. Go forth and be there in the battle. But He would tell them, I'm going to fight for you. I just want you there. I want you there. I want you there to see something. He's told us to go and stand and be patient and persevere and be there. It's His battle. The battle is the Lord's. And we know He's going to win it. He wants us to see it. He wants us to see it. He wants us to see His great and almighty power. He wants us to be amazed at how great our God is. And He wants us to be amazed and so thankful of how good He is and how blessed we are by His grace. For brothers and sisters, I don't know if you realize it this morning, the Lord has added us to His church. We are a part of His church. And that not only has blessings on this earth, it has eternal blessings attached to it. And the Lord has graced us and blessed us with His mercy. Not only saved us from our sin, but then added that unto us and blessed us by placing us by His Spirit in His church. So I ask you again, when the Lord comes, will faith, the faith, be found in this church? The Lord knows, but this I know, if we cease to pray, if we lose heart, if we give up, there's not a chance. There's not a chance. May the Lord give us strength. It'll have to come from Him. May He give us direction. May He lift us up that we faint not. May He give us grace and mercy. And may He put before us the fact that He cometh. And the fact that He will answer and avenge His own elect speedily. There is hope there. There is comfort there. There is strength there. May we stand on the promises of this passage that we just read. May the Lord use it effectually in our hearts and in our lives and for His own glory. We praise the Lord for His goodness and His grace. We rejoice in the Lord's provision through His Word. We are thankful that indeed faith will be found when He returns upon the earth. Oh, listen. Might He come today. Might He come and receive us unto Himself. Might He come as we seek to sound the truth of His trumpet in this building and throughout the world, that He might hear that His faith is found upon the earth. We rejoice in the Lord's mercy.